A very good morning to Francesca Rudkin.
Morena.
We are going to start off with your films this morning and Victoria and Abdul.
I'm 81 years of age and have almost a billion citizens. I've been in office 62 years, making me the longest serving monarch in history.
She has requested Mr. Karim be her personal footman.
How do you like your Scottish costumes?
They're very scratchy.
Everything in Scotland is scratchy. No one really knows what it's like to be queen. Everyone I've loved has died, and I just go on and on. What is the point?
Service, Your Majesty. We are here for a greater purpose.
You are a servant no longer. You will teach me Urdu and the Quran.
Drop this Indian peasant, or we will have you certified insane.
Treason!
Right, we have Dame Judi Dench, Eddie Izzard, Ali Faisal.
We certainly do. So Judi Dench is a dame, but she could so easily be a queen.
Yeah.
And this review gets just an extra half point for the fact that she is so wonderful as Queen Victoria.
Yeah.
And it's a role that she's played before, of course. She played Queen Victoria in 1997 in the film Mrs. Brown. And in a way, Victoria and Abdul is a little bit of a companion piece to that film, or a sequel in a way. Once again, it's a handsomely crafted film, this time by Stephen Frears, who did The Queen and Philomena. And it's filled with beautiful stately homes and palaces and wonderful scenery. And it's also got a story which is a little bit similar to Mrs. Brown in the sense that it tells the mostly true, and that's the word that the filmmakers use, based on true events, mostly, a story of Victoria's relationship with an Indian clerk who travelled from India to present her with a ceremonial coin, and she was quite taken by the Hindu, as he was called, and she made him a footman, and then she made him her munshi, which is a teacher or a spiritual advisor. The only thing was that Abdul turns out to actually be a Muslim, not a Hindu, and as you can imagine, when he's sort of got the air of the Queen and is her spiritual advisor as the head of the Church of England, that doesn't go down very well with her rather traditional royal household. So essentially what the film is that the Munchie gets closer to Victoria, the staff revolt, the Queen stands up for the Munchie, and everyone simmers down. And that's really sort of the narrative that unfolds here in different places around Europe. Yeah, as you expect from Stephen Frears, there's plenty of charming British wit. There's a sort of a gentle mocking of the empire and tradition. And he also presents us with sort of an intimate portrayal of the character, but really only of Victoria.
Yeah.
Abdul's almost a bit of a sideshow here. I don't really know what his motivation was. It was his journals which prompted the writing of the book and then the film. So the narrative gets a bit repetitive. There is, of course, the nice message, which is relevant at all times, about acceptance and understanding of other cultures. Really, this is lovely Sunday afternoon fodder.
Okay. Mm. What do you give it?
3.5 out of 5.
3.5 out of 5 for Victoria and Abdul. Next up, we have a very similar film. This is American Assassin.
Some bad things happened to you. Now you want to kill those mean old terrorists.
You think that qualifies you for my selection process?
My guess is if you and I go hand to hand, you can probably figure out inside of 20 seconds whether or not I have what it takes to make it through selection process. So, what do you say?
What is it you think we do here?
Kill people who need to be killed.
We kill people who need to be killed.
So if you watch the trailer of Victoria and Abdul, you'll get a really good idea about what you're going to get in that film. And actually, it's pretty much the same here. Unfortunately, both the films I'm talking about today suffer from their predictability. If you love Jason Bourne films or John Wick films, then this will appeal.
Mm-hmm. You love watching people being killed.
Yeah, yeah. And it's pretty violent, but it's an R16, so it's, you know, it's
you
all
get the
okay.
Heads up. Yep.
And I have to admit, you know, I mean, I've have watched quite a few violent films, but this did have me flinching and looking away and kind of going, oh, no, that's not terribly pleasant. Clearly there's going to be a sequel to this film, and sometimes when series starts, they find their feet in a prequel, or sometimes they find their feet actually in the next film. This is just an introduction in the next film, and I think that the latter is the case here. I think that this is a bit of a prequel. It's setting up a scenario, and then maybe it'll kind of get rocking. So the film It tells a story about a special ops team. They're led by Stan Hurley, played by Michael Keaton. It's an off-the-grid elite counter-terrorism team who, unlike in the Bourne film, they're actually good in this film. They're the good guys, okay?
Right, yeah.
So the film centres around a new recruit, a guy called Mitch Rapp, played by Dylan O'Brien, who's actually very good. And he was actually a victim of a terrorist plot. And then he became, in a scenario that very much mirrored the beach drama in 2015 in Tunisia. And his fiancée dies, and he decides on his own, as a lone wolf, to infiltrate the terrorist cell responsible. And he gets very close, but at the last minute, the CIA kind of swoop in and take all the glory. So he is then recruited by the CIA. So there's a sort of a couple of narratives on the go here. Both are very, very predictable. You've got the angry lone wolf who is struggling to take orders and has a bit of a death wish and just kind of does what he wants, trying to fit in with the team and become part of the team. And then you've got the mission itself, which is it also involves an ex-special op member of this team who feels like he's been let down by them, and he's stolen a weapon, some weapons grade plutonium, and they have to, you know,
well, at least it's not going for any cliches.
Yeah, it's directed by Michael Kuster, who directed Homeland, and in a way, it's kind of got that tension of Homeland. It's got that action that you'd expect. He's got a good grip on the material here. He keeps the action moving. As I said, the violence is brutal, but it's just too predictable. It's a mix of too many stories that we've seen before, and even though, as I say, the action kept moving, I just kind of sat there and I never was on the edge of my seat. I kind of walked out going, oh, I just didn't really get a thrill from that at all, which is a little bit of a shame.
Okay. What did you give it?
I've given it 2.5 out of 5.
2.5 out of 5 for American Assassin. That first film again was Victoria and Abdul. Perfect Sunday afternoon fodder. That was a 3.5 out of 5. You can read Francesca's full reviews at nzherald.co.nz or at newstalkzb.co.nz. Thank you so much. Catch you next weekend.